On the one hand, I'm not really sure where graphic design ends and urban planning starts. There are a lot of overlaps between those two fields.
I'm John Lewis, and you're listening to 360 Degree City, a podcast where we talk to all kinds of folks that are making life in cities better. Our hope is that at the end of each episode, you'll start to see your own city from a slightly different angle. Has a wayfinding map on the corner of a busy street ever helped you figure out how to get to your destination? Perhaps a simple line graph has taught you about a complex, long-term trend. Or maybe an annual report caught your eye because of its appealing and colorful design. At Intelligent Futures, we spend a lot of time thinking about the design of information. Good maps can help you find your way, clear graphs can help you comprehend complex data, and appealing reports can help you digest important information. We wanted to talk to someone who shares this appreciation for information design and works at the intersection of graphic design and urban planning.
My name's Ryan Sullivan, and I'm a graphic designer and founder of a design studio named Paste in Place, based in Portland, Oregon. Our design work includes data visualizations, maps, and graphic design projects that describe and analyze cities. And fundamentally, our goal is to use graphics and visual thinking for two primary purposes. One is to better understand and learn about cities and how they function. And that's to say we use graphics in the process of creating graphics, drawing, redrawing them to analyze cities and to understand them. I'm a believer in the idea that drawing is seeing, and whether it's a pictorial sketch or a complex data visualization, visually representing something enables us to learn about it and understand it better. The second goal of our work is to communicate what we learn to people in a manner that's engaging and understandable. And depending on the project, that can range from the general public to elected officials.
The work from Paste in Place is always bright, clean, and playful. It's usually cartographic and sometimes minimal. Ryan effectively communicates information about urban life in an appealing and accessible way. If you want to check out some of the work of Paste in Place before listening to this episode, check out the link in our show notes. In this episode, we talk about the relationship between graphic design and urban planning, Ryan's secret sauce for how to blend data and narrative into engaging visuals, and some of the work that Paste in Place is up to right now. Let's dive in. You've got an interesting path to end up to where you are today. Can you briefly describe that journey?
Sure. I'm trained as an architect. And while I was studying architecture, I started a graphic design project, a publication project with a few classmates. And that project led us to taking on more graphic design work and balancing our architecture coursework with paying graphic design work on the side. So when I graduated, I kind of kept working in that same mode. I worked in firms and continued freelance graphic design work. And in the firms over time, I found myself doing more and more information design and cartography for urban planning projects, as well as environmental graphics for wayfinding and exhibit design projects. So in 2010, I struck out on my own and started this business, Paste in Place, in order to focus more specifically on data visualization, cartography, and graphic design.
Okay, great. And I'm curious, one of the things I always find interesting just about the whole city building endeavor, and what one of the things we try to work in is kind of intersections between professions and things like that.
Yeah.
As you shifted from working in architecture to full-time graphic work, was there anything that you had to unlearn as from your architecture training as you moved into graphic design?
Yes and no. In some respects, design thinking is kind of similar, right? Mm-hmm. From architecture to graphic design to product design, from one field to the next. I do think, though, the values involved in how you approach a project varies, right? So when it comes to urban planning, I think one thing we do very well and we offer is a really focused lens on the details of the communication and putting people first in the audience and thinking very carefully about how we communicate effectively. that's one of the top things we focus on, which, you know, when you're doing urban planning or architecture, you know, there are other priorities that are front and center. So I suppose what I'm saying is the sort of priorities perhaps are a little bit different, but the way of thinking and the way of working is quite similar.
Mm-hmm. And so with your experience over time, how do you see, you explained it a bit in the introduction, but could you elaborate a little more on how you see graphic design and information design contributing to this complex process of city building?
Yeah, so I've got a few different ways to kind of to answer that question, a few different ways to think about it. You know, on the one hand, I'm not really sure where graphic design ends and urban planning starts. There are a lot of overlaps between those two fields and a lot of intersections between them. You know, whether it's like posters at a community meeting where you're trying to communicate to the public about, say, a new proposed street reconfiguration or in the wayfinding signage that we use in cities to guide people and tourists and visitors and commuters and help each other find our way. I think another way to answer that question is that I think it's hard to plan for something, whether it's a city or a party, you know, without understanding particular fundamentals like the context, people, history. We're also swimming in data. You know, we live in this era that we're just overwhelmed with data. We have so much data about places and cities and people that sometimes we hardly know what to do with it. So it's really hard to interpret data, to understand it and make sense of it. And that's where drawing it and visualizing it can be an enormous help and can set the stage for action. So I think in that sense, it's fundamental to urban planning. You know, how can you plan a city if you don't understand how it functions and how other similar cities function, how they're approaching similar challenges and opportunities? Now, to answer that question, you know, that relationship between graphic design and urban planning in a more sort of practical fashion. In a lot of our work, we'll work on the projects collaboratively with urban planners and their colleagues for city governments. And as much as possible, we'll try to integrate the creation of the graphics throughout the planning process. So we'll use data visualizations and maps to do all the things I just mentioned to better understand the project. And then also to communicate with the public and with community outreach and public outreach through the process. So it's helpful in both of those ways. I think another thing that might be worth mentioning is that I see this work as part of a longer history of visualizing and planning cities. And in particular, we're inspired and humbled by the work of produced by Otto Neurath and Isotype in the 1920s and 1930s. And he along with graphic designer Gerd Arndt and Mary Neurath and a team, they used information graphics, maps, and models to create exhibitions and publications that explained important issues, you know, things having to do with housing or urban economics to the general public. And they were always looking for ways to communicate these complex topics about cities and systems in a way that was meaningful, impactful, poetic. And they were also challenged to communicate to audiences that, you know, at that time were frequently illiterate. So that's actually an inspiration, in an interesting way too today, because in a lot of our work, you know, we're trying to communicate so a lot of people for whom English isn't their native language or their first language. So, you know, we're interested in how graphics can be used to reach more people and more diverse audiences as well.
So, yeah, so it seems like you almost have a triple translation going on. There's the actual articulation of the data and the facts. There's probably the professional jargon. You know, we often kind of joke about talkitecture and how an architect or a planner, any profession, just uses their own language to make themselves sound important. And then there's the actual language, whether it's, you know, English to French or Spanish or what have you.
That's right. That's a nice way to put it. There are the layers there to the to the communication efforts. And I like the way you put it too, because the order that you offered those three communication challenges is kind of the order we approach the projects, right? Like the first is diving deep into the data and trying to understand it with the graphics. The second is frequently communicating with our colleagues who are trained specialists, right? Urban planners or transportation planners and the like. And then finally communicating to folks who are part of the community and have a more general understanding and a different experience with the city. So, yeah.
Can you perhaps on the community side, can you describe how you go about researching or understanding a particular city or neighborhood context to understand whether it's actual spoken language, literacy levels, those kinds of things, and how that informs your decisions?
Sure. Yeah. So, well, number one, there's nothing better than being in the place, right? So as much as possible, a lot of our work is here in Portland, but we've been working in other cities more and more frequently, and we always go. You know, there's nothing better than being on the ground and talking to people and learning from them and experiencing the place firsthand. And one of the reasons that's important is because in all of this work, we're really trying to get at the unique qualities of the place. What's unique about it? And we try to start there. You know, what makes one place different from another, one street different from another, one commute pattern different from another? It's worth noting, I think, that to that end, we'll frequently look for extremes in data sets when we're starting a project and looking at different places, because there's often an interesting narrative or insight when you look at the extremes in the data.
Can you give an example of what that would look like from, you know, when you're describing extreme data sets?
Yeah, totally. So, a few years ago, we were looking at bicycle data here in Portland, and looking at different ways to visualize and represent the patterns in the data, and trying to understand, you know, what are the patterns in the data? And one of my favorite things to do is, well, what was the, you know, in that context or in that particular project, was what's the busiest day, you know, for bicycle riders in the city? What are the busiest places for riders in the city? Where has there been the most change in ridership in the city? And when you start to look at those places, they start to answer some kind of intuitive, some obvious questions, I should say, at first, you know. But then they also offer some kind of less obvious and more curious insights. So probing deeper and looking at those can often lead us to challenge our preconceptions about a place and to understand the place in more detail or from someone else's perspective or through another lens.
Okay, great. So you've talked about your thought process and how you would approach a project. Can you maybe talk about the secret sauce? of how you blend data and narrative together? I'm always curious about how that's done by experts like yourself.
Definitely. You know, me too. I love hearing from others about how they do it, right? Especially when it comes to design. Whenever you're designing something, there's a little bit of that black box feeling, right? And of course, a tradition in many design disciplines of not sharing. I'm a big believer in sharing. I love talking about this kind of thing, about process. There are a couple, I'll offer two specific secret sauces in our work. One is sketching. We start every project by sketching. A lot of times it's hand drawings and quick sketches. Other times it's quick mock-ups using the computer. But either way, they're very much sketches. And drawing by hand or quickly on the computer enables us to keep the big picture in mind and to avoid getting lost in the data and to avoid getting lost in the details. And it helps us think broadly about the project, which is enormously valuable. I can't imagine doing our work without starting there. It's also, on a very practical level, it's a great way to share initial thoughts and ideas with our clients. And that way they can offer input early in a project and they can become invested in the work that we're doing. And quite frankly, oftentimes our clients see these sketches and say, hey, did you think about this? Or did you think about that? Or you know, and sometimes we'll get them drawing too. And so drawing and sketching, I guess sketching's the best word for it. That kind of early project sketching is huge. Another secret sauce is we're really interested in taking a human-centered approach to how we create the graphics. I had a chance to work with Jan Gehl for a year early in my career.
Jan Gehl is a Danish architect who has led the way towards human-centered urban design. He's written multiple books, including How to Study Public Life and Cities for People.
And his approach to designing public spaces and analyzing them and putting people first still kind of inspires me today. We want to make graphics that are information rich and poetic and clear, but above all else, we really want to speak to people. So for that reason, maps and cartography are a major part of our work. I think the power of a map, especially when working at the scale of the city, is that people in your audience can find themselves in the map. And that immediately makes the graphic interesting to someone. But there's also more than that. You know, a person then can see themselves within the larger context of other people in the rest of the city. They can see themselves and people in places that are unfamiliar to them. So it kind of can serve as a bridge between the reader and the city around them. So all that to say, you know, so a map helps us to see something unfamiliar in a unique way. So we'll often take that idea, you know, how can a reader find themselves in the map? And we'll try to apply that same idea to other types of graphics like data visualizations. How can the audience find themselves in the data and then see others around them? And then we'll even think about that kind of approach when we're designing a larger project, you know, the publication or exhibit or website that these graphics might build to and become a part of. So putting people first in the graphics, in the representation of the data in the city is another technique that we keep coming back to over and over again.
Okay. Terrific. Can you maybe describe for the listeners a project that you've worked on that you're most proud of?
Right. So, you know, of course, I'm most proud of all the projects we're doing right now, right? Because those are the ones we're obsessed with, you know, and that are on my mind every day. And, you know, when I fall asleep at night. So those are, you know, I'll give you a quick rundown of a couple of those. We're doing a bunch of transportation related projects right now here in the Portland region, data visualizations and maps, especially focused on traffic safety and Vision Zero efforts here in the region.
Vision Zero is an international project that aims to eliminate all traffic related deaths and serious injuries.
We're also working on a major park renovation project that includes a series of maps, diagrams, brochures, and a gigantic aerial perspective drawing that are focused on a park at the edge of the Portland region in the foothills of Mount Hood. And then we're also working on this really interesting project right now for a city named Vanport, which was tragically flooded and destroyed in 1948. And the land once occupied by Vanport is now part of the city of Portland, and it's a golf course and a racetrack. And many of the survivors of the flood are quite old now. So we're trying to design all sorts of things to honor the place and its cultural legacy. So we've designed an exhibit. We're working on maps and brochures for a festival and tour that takes place each year. And now we're really getting into a series of environmental graphics and interpretive exhibits that we're going to hope to put on the site itself so that visitors can see the place and learn more about the flood, the people, and the history of that place.
Oh, wow.
So it's a range of things. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are,
keeps
those
it
are
interesting.
Some of the things we're kind of most excited about right
now. Yeah, terrific. I guess a bit of a subset of that question is, do you have an example or a story of the best feedback you've gotten, let's say from a decision maker, like a member of a city council, and conversely, like a member of a local community? Do you have any stories or examples of that?
Right. We've gotten a few nice responses to our work. And, you know, a lot of people who appreciate our work, the things they say about it center around the clarity of the work. And that's something I didn't really touch on yet, actually, is that when it comes to that final part of the communication, you know, with an audience, with the general public, with elected officials, with whoever it is, we kind of try to simplify things without dumbing them down, but we try to get at the essence of what we're trying to communicate. So a lot of compliments about our work have centered around the clarity of it. Oh, quick ones are apparently one of Oregon's representatives in Congress, Earl Blumenhauer, I'm told, carries one of our infographics folded up in his pocket, one related to bicycle culture here in Portland. So that he's a tremendous bicycle advocate, has been for decades now. So that was nice. And then we'll also frequently get compliments from city councilors who review our work as part of a project. You know, nice things like, you know, we wish every, you know, project could have this sort of graphic clarity to it and communication clarity to it. So that's always nice to hear too. And then we hear nice things from the community too. You know, we also get great ideas from people. You know, people will say, you know, I love seeing people look at our graphics and eavesdropping on their conversations and seeing them suss out and interpret the data and the things we're showing in the graphics. And quite frequently that will, you know, quite often that will give us ideas for things we could do better or things we could improve on. Sometimes we'll take our graphics to people who aren't trained as designers or urban planners and you know, say, hey, what do you think of this? Or try to get a sense from them if the graphic is working or not and how effective it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I think the clarity piece, that's why one of the things that really stands out when I have seen your work is, you know, city building is so complex and there's so many factors that go into it. I had one of my professors in my master's in urban planning. She would always stump us at the end of a project. We'd have these elaborate ideas and plans and schemes, and she would wait till the very end of the presentation, and then she'd say, "That's wonderful. So what?"
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me probably weekly since I graduated. And so to get to the clarity of the cycling issue or the road reconfiguration. So what?
Right.
And that's where I think your work really can contribute and help with that across a diversity of folks that are involved, from city councilor to professional citizen.
Right. You know, speaking of old professors, I had a professor who used to say, one diagram, one idea. You know, we would make these kind of urban design diagrams. You know, very much focused on the formal qualities of the city and the sort of morphology of the city. And he'd always say, one diagram, one idea. So, we'd make 30 or 40 diagrams of a neighborhood or a place. And that stuck with me. You know, when we do the sketching at the beginning of the projects, we'll start there. Of course, there's also, you know, another sort of maybe a third secret sauce is there's something powerful about putting two very simple graphics together, you know, putting a very interesting data set over a map, right? So there's also, it's worth mentioning or worth noting that there's perhaps a risk of making things too simple at times in the complexity and the juxtaposition of two ideas or two data sets, two graphics can be quite powerful too. But yeah, we're always looking to clarify and synthesize and simplify things.
Mm-hmm. So if in all your experience from your architectural days through to present day, and particularly since you started Paste in Place, what's the most important thing you've learned about cities?
Mm.
Because you've had, it's really interesting. It's you've had these interesting touch points on all kinds of city building activities. So, anything that stands out?
Yeah, I think, one thing I've learned is, cities, two things. Cities are enormously complex, which is, I suppose, why we find ourselves doing the work we're doing today here, right? And why we're having this conversation. You know, they're incredibly complex. And a city can't be designed the way that a toothbrush can be designed, right? Or the way a graphic even can be designed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the design of a city is a wicked problem, some folks would say. So it's enormously challenging. There's so many factors, and because of that, I think it's been helpful to me to think of a city as something that to see it in a positive light. You know, it's a good thing that cities are always changing and evolving and hopefully innovating. And sometimes it's a step forward, a step back, or two steps forward, one step back. I'm sorry, but you know, that's part of the fun. And I think kind of embracing that and seeing our work as hopefully an iterative step towards making things better, and engaging the people who live here and making their lives better. That's one kind of primary thing I've learned, I think, and that inspires me and inspires our work.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting the way you frame that. I think it's really helpful because I think for a long period through the previous century, cities were seen as a problem to be solved rather than a place where the majority of the world lives their lives.
That's
And how do we make it a great, you know, a great human endeavor?
That's right. That's right. And also, if it's a problem to solve, it suggests that there's one solution, right? So we also have a century or two or maybe more of architects and planners proposing, you know, the cure-all for the city.
And the answer was cars.
Right. For a long time. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And now it's just so satisfying, I think, to see so many cities doing different things. You know, I think the internet has helped us a little bit here too. There's so much inspiration, and we're so connected to see what other places are doing and what other cities are doing to try to learn from them in order to make our communities better.
Hmm. Okay. So, last question that we ask all our guests is: can you share a city that you love and why you love it?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's Portland, of course. I like cities, and this ties in with the last. What we were just talking about. I like cities that are changing and evolving and innovating. And for a long time in North America, that was Portland, and maybe it still is in some respects. But right now I see change and innovation happening in different ways in a lot of different cities. It's everywhere from Rust Belt cities like Cleveland, where we did a project a couple years ago, to rapidly changing and growing cities in China, right? So this is just such an exciting time. I'm sure you feel the same way to be working.
Absolutely.
To be working on cities and urban challenges and opportunities. And then finally, I'll say Portland, but I will mention this from a graphic design standpoint. I'm very impressed with London and Barcelona and the graphic design studios in those cities. And the urban related work they're doing, everything from environmental graphics to city branding and down to the urban planning documents and publications that are being produced. Overall, the level of quality is just fantastic and very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Okay, well, it's nice to finally meet you after, like I say, being an admirer from afar for a long time. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
I really appreciate the work that's done at Paste & Place. Their ability to distill complex information into concise and engaging graphics is a tremendous skill. And I'm ever glad that Ryan shared his secret design sauce. I think I'm going to have to do some sketching right now. 360 Degree City is created by the team at Intelligent Futures. To learn more about the work we do, you can go to intelligentfutures.ca. If you like the podcast, please share it with someone that might be interested in seeing their own city from a different angle. I'm John Lewis. Thanks for stopping by.